good sleep last night and ready for the message. Now, if you can't hear me at the back, could you put up your hand so I can turn up my volume? Hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Today's sermon is taken from Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 to 5. And the sermon title is A Psalm of Praise. Our church has been blessed in many ways since her inception in 1986. Even past and present worshippers, members and non-members have been blessed. There were occasions in the early years when we were discouraged by the slow growth in physical numbers and spiritual maturity and the lack of participation of the hopefuls. There were challenging and anxious times, especially when we intended to buy our first building, aptly called the Stone Mansion in Fullerton, when we had so little money in the building fund. We learned how to have faith in God and what faith it was all about. The Lord finally provided more funds than we needed. Initially, that mansion was big enough for a small congregation. But as our church grew in numbers, space became a problem. As we look back, we can now see the unseen mighty hand of God guiding, helping, molding, and providing for our church and hopefuls. God led us to buy the Stone Mansion, but unbeknownst to us, He was actually preparing us for a better and larger building at Colonel Light Gardens, right here. The Lord has blessed every individual and family, even the many visitors who have come to our church. Many international students have been with us, and for those who had returned to their home countries, they continued to keep in touch with us. They always remember the good times they had experienced here, especially how they learned so much about God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the benefits of true worship and genuine fellowship. For all that God has done for us, for our church and hopefuls, you and I have many reasons to praise God. The questions are, how do we praise God? Why do we praise Him? We turn to Psalm chapter 100, which we just read as our scripture text. This is a very interesting psalm. If we look at our Bible, at the top of this psalm is the heading, A Psalm of Praise. That is where the title of this sermon comes from. Psalm 100 is the only psalm of praise out of the 150 psalms. No, sorry. Psalm 100 is not the only psalm of praise out of the 150 psalms. It is the only psalm with a title. There are other psalms with expressions of praise and thanksgiving. Two such psalms, for example, are Psalms 103 and 107. In the other English versions, such as the New International Version, the heading is A Psalm for Giving Thanks. And in the New American Standard and New Revised Standard Versions, the heading or title is A Praise for Thanksgiving. In our King James Bible, it is praise. But giving thanks or thanksgiving in the examples of versions I gave you, what is the difference between praise, giving thanks, and thanksgiving? From Webster Dictionary 1828.com, in summary, the word praise as a noun is quoting, commendation bestowed on a person for his personal virtues or worthy actions or meritorious actions themselves or on anything valuable. Secondly, the expression of gratitude for personal favors conferred, a glorifying or extolling. Thirdly, the object, ground, or reason of praise, unquote. As a verb, the word praise means, quoting, firstly, to commend, to applaud, to express approbation of personal worth or actions. Secondly, to extol in words or songs, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. Thirdly, to express gratitude for personal favors. And fourthly, to do honor to display the excellence of, unquote. From thesaurus.com, synonyms of praise include thanks, appreciation, acclamation, exaltation, worship, glory, glorification, bless, etc. The word praise can therefore mean thanksgiving, or giving thanks, or praise. And these are used interchangeably. So when we say praise God, it means thank God, bless God, or other expressions of thanks. For what God has done for Hope Church, for every family, for every individual, our relatives, friends, works, for studies, and our nation, we must praise or give thanks to God. For this message, I would like to cover these four areas. Firstly, ways to praise or thank God. Secondly, reasons to praise God for what He has done. Thirdly, a call to thank God. And fourthly, the character of God. Praise Him for who He is. Firstly, let us find out the ways we can praise, bless, or give thanks to God. First point, ways to praise or thank God. How should we thank God? How do we appreciate Him? How do we praise and bless Him? We cannot give God something. Actually, He does not need anything from us. He created all things, and He does not need the things He has created. Psalm chapter 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And in the 12th verse of the same psalm, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Amen. The whole universe is His. Then, how to praise Him when we cannot give God anything materially? There are three ways to praise or give thanks to God. From Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist teaches us how we can thank or praise God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. First, we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Hebrew word used here is translated as shout in the Amplified New American Standard versions, and also in the New King James Version. I'm not familiar. Let's start over again, alright? The Hebrew word used here is translated as shout in the Amplified New American Standard and New International Versions. But mech in the New King James Revised and American Standard Versions. I'm not familiar with the Hebrew language, but from what I have read, the Hebrew word used here is meant to be a glad shout. Glad shout. For example, when a king entered an assembly, his loyal subjects would give a glad shout with emphasis on the gladness. This is not an unruly shout, but a respectful shout of praise and an expression of loyalty. There is a suggestion of joy from these two verses of Psalm 100. Joyful noise in verse 1 and gladness and singing in verse 2. This singing is that of joyful singing. Hence, as God's people, we are to praise Him loudly. We are to raise our voices to praise Him. We do it because we are happy with Him. Many worshippers sing hymns in whispers. And I noticed that this morning as well, whispers. This is really pathetic. That is not the way to praise God loudly with a joyful noise. You whisper joyfully, right? Let us sing with a loud voice. And shall we start from today? Let us sing and show that we want to praise God with a joyful noise from now on. Charles Spurgeon said, I quote, "Our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people, a cheerful spirit in keeping with His nature, His acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for His mercies," unquote. Are we happy people? Do we have a cheerful spirit? Are we grateful people? If the answer is yes, then show it by proclaiming loudly to Him with gladness. Sing as if we are in a choir and projecting our voices. By doing this, we show our gratefulness to Him. Secondly, we can praise God by serving. Psalm 100 verse 2 reads, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing." Amen. The word serve in verse 2 means worship. This psalm conveys to us that we are to serve God by our worship, as in verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Amen. By praising God, how do we serve or worship the Lord? Yes, we bless God by coming on the Lord's Day to worship Him. Do we just come to His church only on Sundays to worship Him? Let us consider what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. Let us all read these verses together. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. Let us read. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me." These are the words of the Lord Jesus when He will praise His righteous people who are on His right hand, who are the sheep, in the day of judgment, in the future. Verse 34 says, "Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This is what He said to the sheep on the right hand. Verse 35, "For I was a hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me." Amen. The sheep on His right protest, make a protest, that they have not done all these good deeds to Him. Well, that's what they say in Matthew 25, verses 37 to 39. This is what the sheep say. "Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? And the Lord's answer will surprise all of us in Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king, that is the Lord Jesus, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You have done it unto me. Amen. What lessons can we get from this? How can we thank God? How do we praise Him? The Lord shows us how. We give thanks or praise when we meet the needs of others. The Lord will not forget the sacrifices we make to help those who are in need. We may not be shown gratitude by the people who we helped, but the Lord will not forget. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 reads, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. Even if people abuse our kindness and do not show any appreciation to what we have done for them, we should be glad that we have served the Lord and the Lord will remember it. Therefore, we praise God by feeding the hungry. We thank God by welcoming strangers to our homes and church. We give thanks to God by providing clothing to those who are in need of adequate clothing. We bless God by visiting and caring for the sick, dying, and those needing care. We give thanks to God by visiting the prisoners. And we praise God by helping missionaries, by contributing funds and helping them. We praise God by helping the persecuted. We give thanks to God by helping pastors, church officers, and theological students, and praying for them. There are, of course, many other ways we can thank or praise the Lord. And we praise God by serving or worshipping Him with gladness. We must do it not with an unhappy, angry, indifferent, or sad manner. Do it with gladness. Do with the right spirit. We praise God, firstly, by making a joyful noise to Him, and secondly, by serving the Lord with gladness. Thirdly, we come. We can come. The second part of Psalm 100, verse 2 reads, Come before His presence with singing. The psalmist described the people of God coming to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. This refers to formal or corporate worship. While we worship and thank God by making a joyful noise to Him and by serving others with gladness, we must not forget to thank Him by worshiping Him. We cannot say we have faith in our Lord Jesus, but do not go and worship Him on the Lord's Day. Faith and works go together in unison. Silent belief or faith is not sufficient. We do well to remember what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24-25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. We are commanded to encourage and love one another, and not to avoid regular corporate worship as the body of Christ. There are people who say that all they need is to read and study the Bible at home and to do good works, and there is no need to assemble together to worship God on the Lord's Day. This verse from Hebrews is telling us otherwise. Worshipping God regularly on the Lord's Day is another way to thank and praise God. We are to come before His presence with singing. This we do in our worship service. Our singing of hymns and songs must therefore be scriptural. Sing proper scriptural hymns, songs, and melodies. We praise God firstly by making a joyful noise to Him, secondly by serving the Lord with gladness, and thirdly by worshipping Him with singing. Next, we must know why we praise and thank God. We must praise God for what He has done for us. Let us read Psalm 100, verse 3 together. Let us read together. Let's read Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Amen. Take note of the first word, know. It reveals something important to us. The psalmist tells us that our God is an intelligent, all-wise one, and therefore our thanksgiving and our praise to Him must also be intelligent. To thank, bless, or praise God, we must know who He is. We cannot thank Him appropriately and correctly if we do not know Him. What should we know about this God? We can find two answers. Firstly, in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. That means that God is our Creator. He created us. Secondly, in the same verse, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That means this God is our Redeemer. We belong to Him and He is our Shepherd. God is our Creator. And it is He that had made us and not we ourselves. If God is our Creator, then we must know and accept that we are His creatures. If we are His creatures, then we do not create ourselves. There is therefore a connection between knowing God, I am quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, quoting from him, but there is a difference. There's a connection between knowing God as our Creator and knowing ourselves as His creatures, unquote. And this knowing God and knowing ourselves as His creatures, these two go together. There are then two aspects of knowing to consider. Firstly, knowing God as our Creator. Let me ask you this question. What happens to us when we do not recognize God as our Creator? We can look at this from a pseudoscience aspect. The answer is that we imagine ourselves as our own creators. Evolutionists believe in this unscientific theory that all things are where they are today without any divine intervention from God. They just happened by chance. There is no proof of evolutionary science. And yet this so-called science is taught in our education system. Evolutionists, hence, need no God. If we do not know and need God as our Creator, then there is no need to thank Him. What is the point of thanking or praising Him if we do not recognize or even know Him or even His own existence? We arrive where we are today by ourselves. So there's no one we can thank but ourselves if we go along with the evolutionist. Another aspect of not recognizing God as our Creator is when we envisage ourselves as our own creators by our inordinate admiration of our talents, intelligence, or accomplishments. We achieve our successes on our own, and therefore there is no need to praise God. Therefore, to thank or praise God, we must know and believe in Him. Quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, a Bible commentator, I quote, "It is only when we know God as our Creator that we know ourselves as His creatures and find ourselves appropriately thankful to Him," unquote. Know God, know ourselves as His creatures, and then we know how to praise and bless His name. Secondly, knowing God as Redeemer. To thank or praise God, we must also know that He is our Redeemer. The last part of verse 3 reads, "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Refer to God as our Redeemer. There is good reason why we must be thankful to God. This is because He is our God, the Creator, and He is our God, the Redeemer. We are His sheep, and as we have been cared for by the Good Shepherd, we must be more thankful to Him. Let us learn from our Lord Jesus what do sheep and the Good Shepherd mean. Let us turn to John chapter 10, verses 11 to 12. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 12. And let us read that together. Let's read. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The good shepherd cares for and gives protection to his sheep, and is willing to die for them. That is what our Lord Jesus did. He came to earth to sacrifice himself as the Lamb of God for us. He is our good shepherd, and he cares for us, his sheep. The sheep know him as a protector and carer. John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. Let us read that one together as well. John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and none of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. The good shepherd knows every sheep. Then they in turn know that the good shepherd is theirs. They recognize the voice of the shepherd. The sheep know him by his voice. We need to consider the psalmist's meaning of he that had made us in that verse. If God has created us and we did not create ourselves, then we belong to him. If we belong to him, we are his. And then he can do with us with what seems best to him. How do we apply this knowledge of God and the fact that we are his? Then, if God is pleased to give us success and prosperity, we must be thankful to him for his goodness and grace. If God gives us periods of trials, difficulties, testings, and sorrows, we must also thank him for his wisdom and grace. We must take a leaf out of the Apostle Paul, how he was filled with thanksgiving, even when he was imprisoned in Rome. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13 together. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Let's read. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. From the Apostle Paul, we must learn to be content and to praise God in whatever situation we are in. One more important point to consider in this verse is, we are his people. We belong to God, no matter what happens to us. Even when we are sick, we are his. Even when we lose our job, we are his. Even when we are depressed or grieved, we are his. God gives us a promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Or our Lord Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Lo, it's not your surname, Lo. I'm with you always. See, Jesus is always with you. Even the Apostle Paul assures us in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing will separate us from God, our Creator and our Redeemer. Verse 3 tells us that we should thank God for what he has done for us. He is both our Creator and Redeemer. Now that we know God as our Creator and Redeemer, we must then proclaim, in my third point, a call to thank God. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. We are called to praise, thank, and bless God in verse 4. Note the three imperatives. Enter, be thankful, and bless. Here, this verse emphasizes the gathering of God's people to the temple. An assembly or gathering of God's people to thank and bless God together. This teaches us that it is good to enter church every Lord's Day and into his courts for worship as a community of believers. To thank and bless God together, not just as private individuals. We do this by prayers, singing of hymns, hearing the preaching of God's word, and giving our tithes and offerings. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise in an orderly and peaceful manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." As God is the author of peace, when we enter our church for worship, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Confusion and disruption in worship service are not of God. We must give honor to God when we worship him. When God the Father called us out to Christ Jesus, and quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, he put it this way, quoting, "He did not call us in isolation, but to be his elect people together, particularly in a common heritage. This means that those among whom, for whom, and with whom we should give thanks are other believers." Unquote. Therefore, we should take the responsibility to others by encouraging them to be thankful to God. The question is this: how do we call God's people to praise and thank and bless him? One way is to invite others to join us in thanksgiving. When we have our church anniversary thanksgiving or any celebratory occasions such as Mother's Day, Father's Day, and baptism, and also Christmas and weddings, we invite our relatives and friends to join us. Another way is to invite others to come to church on every Lord's Day. Reach out to our family members, relatives and friends, neighbors, work colleagues, and business partners, and people in the streets. We express our praise, thanks, and praising to God by inviting them. If we look at verse 1 again, which reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." All ye lands. It is really an invitation to all ye lands, that is, the people of this world, to thank and praise God. People of every race, culture, tribe, social status, and ethnicity. All ye lands, that's what it means. The people in the world are called to thank God. Earlier I mentioned that verse 3, which is, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." This verse tells us that we should thank God for what he has done for us. What has God done? He has created and redeemed us. However, in the last stanza, the last verse of Psalm 100, verse 5, the last verse is verse 5, gives us an invitation to praise God for who he is. We now consider the character of God. So we praise God for who he is. Psalm 100, verse 5. "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Amen. There are three things to consider. Firstly, the Lord is good. Our God is and has always been good. After he had created the world and everything therein, he declared that it was good. If you read Genesis chapter 1 from verses 4 to 31, when he gave us the law, it was also holy and just and good, in Romans chapter 7, verse 12. When his will is revealed to us, it is good. and acceptable and perfect, as in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. His creation is good. His law is good. His will is good. And best of all, His news is good. The word gospel means good news. The word good, when shortened by removing one letter O, is God. Note what the psalmist say in Psalm 34, verse 8. All taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man, is the man that trusted in Him. Amen. Know in detail who the Lord God is. Know Him personally, who the Lord is, and we will see that He is good. Secondly, God is mercy. Instead of mercy, it is love in the New International, loving kindness in the American Standard and New American Standard versions, steadfast love in the Revised Standard Version. For God to show mercy, He must show love. Whether it is mercy or love, it is everlasting. Mercy and love are deep-seated in God's heart. He loves His people. He shows mercy to His people. That is why He sent His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, to us. He went to the cross, shed His precious blood, emptied His body of blood, and then died on the cross. He did it for us. This is what mercy and love is. Thirdly, God is truth. Truth. In our version, King James Bible, and the New King James Version, faithfulness in the New International and New American Standard Versions. We live in a world that changes rapidly. We have seen so much changes in the last 10 years when even compared to the 10 years before that. New things are invented and discovered at an alarming rate. What we learned in the past has become irrelevant with new discoveries. However, it is a comfort to know that God does not change. His truth does not change. His faithfulness does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, a very popular verse. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ has never changed. God has not changed. It's you that change. Has God been good and the same in the ancient days? The answer is yes. If He was good and same in the past, He will be good and same now and in the future. Has God been merciful and loving in the past? The answer is yes. He will always be merciful and loving. Has God been with us through difficult times? The answer is yes. God will always be with us. His faithfulness and His truth endureth to all generations. God can be trusted. It's us that can be trusted. There will never be a time when God stops being good or being merciful and loving or faithful in truth. He never stops. We praise God for what He is. He never changed. We praise God for His unchanging character, for who He is. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise. It is a wonderful, wonderful psalm to memorize. We praise God by making a joyful noise to Him, by serving the Lord with gladness, by worshiping Him with singing. We praise and thank God for what He has done for us. He is both our Creator and Redeemer. This psalm tells us that it's good to enter church every Lord's Day and into His courts for worship as a community or family of believers, to thank and bless God together and not just as private individuals. Finally, we are to praise God for who He is, for His unchangeable character, His goodness, His mercy and love, and His truth and faithfulness. Let us always praise God with our mouths, with our souls, and with our deeds. May God bless all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, thou art a great God and Creator. Through thy Holy Spirit, thou hast inspired the psalmist to write this wonderful and beautiful psalm of praise. Help us to cherish and follow thy word by making a joyful noise with singing, serving thee with gladness, to know thee and to accept without any doubt that thou art our Creator and we are thine. We praise thee that thou art good. Thy mercy is everlasting and thy truth endureth to all generations. Be with us and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our Lord's precious name we pray. Amen.